We're continuing the series of shiurim on the topic of simcha, based on Rabbi Nachman's teachings. This shiur is going to be based on a chapter in Likutei Moran, chapter 54, which is entitled Zikoron Dikdusha. It's based on a pasuk, Vayhi Miketz, the beginning of Parshas Miketz, and this shiur was actually given by Rabbi Nachman on Shabbos Chanukah. We know that right now we're in the month of Kislev, a few days into Kislev, so it's sort of timely. And in this chapter on Likutei Moran, he touches on a number of very, very important points in Yiddishkeit, and one of them is going to be Simcha. That's why we're bringing it in over here. We're going to mention most of the important, the highlights of this chapter on Likutei Moran, but focus leading to, and especially our focus is on how Simcha is related to all of this. He begins with an incredibly powerful statement saying that a Jew has to be very careful, lishmor ma'oid es hazikoroin, to guard your zikoroin. The word zikoroin, every Hebrew word, usually requires several words in the English language to accommodate it, to define it correctly. The word zikoroin is used to mean memory. The word zikoroin in this context also refers to consciousness, to be conscious of what you need to be conscious and mindful that there's a goal and a purpose to life. That's what he's referring to here as zikoroin dikdusha. A Jew has to be very serious and alert because being put into this physical world, this is the world of distractions. The way that the Yetzer Hara, the way that the evil inclination messes a person up in this world is by distracting them from their true purpose, what we're really here for. And what we're really here for is to achieve a certain goal. This world is described in the Mishnah as an entranceway, as a passageway. And if you speak to 99.99% of the people on this world, including Jews, including religious people, they've forgotten that totally because the Yetzer Hara is so powerful, so shrewd in getting a person to forget that they're in transit. We forget that totally. All of us think we're in park here, or we think we're here for some kind of prayer, even though we got cemeteries all around us. So it's not as if there's no reminders of this, but the Yetzer Hara, in fact, I believe it was told over in the name of the Baal Shem Tov, that he said once, there's nothing more definite in life than death. There's nothing more definite than that. And there's nothing that the Yetzer Hara makes a person doubt or gets a person to forget, you know, than this most definite item. So Rabbi Nachman tells us right here that if you want to be Jewish, if you want to succeed in your mission in this world, you have to remember. You have to be alert, conscious, remember what you're here for, and be conscious at all times of that, and not to fall into shikha, not to forget your mission and get distracted and go off track and get involved in all kinds of things that can not only block you from getting to where you want to get to, but they can get you to go far downstairs to places that it never occurred to you, and you certainly want to stay far away from, chas v'shalom. And Rabbi Nachman tells us that this zikoroin dikdusha, this remembering and being conscious of my goals, my true goal, my eternal goal, applies on two levels. On a general level, the custom of a religious Jew is that the moment he opens his eyes in the morning, the first, before he does anything, he's supposed to remember Olam Haba. He's supposed to remember, I have a goal. I'm on a mission. The clock is ticking and I'm on a mission. I'm not on vacation. I'm not on chofesh. We know that when a person has commitments, when a person knows that they have very serious, timely commitments, things that they have to complete by a certain time, that person gets up in the morning, and the second they get up, all the switches turn on, And they're right away thinking, okay, what's first? What am I going to do first in order to be able to get cracking, to get working on what I, to make sure I accomplish what I have to accomplish for today, to make sure I get to my goal. Whereas a person who doesn't have commitments, who doesn't have obligations, that person gets up and the first thing they think is, maybe I don't have to get up yet. Maybe I can go back to sleep. Maybe I'm not all of these kind of thoughts. So that's on one level. That's on a general level. And that's the first thing a person's supposed to think of. In fact, the commentaries on the Likutei Moran give us a remez to this in the paragraph in the Torah where it speaks about the Korban Tomid, the Olas Tomid that was brought every morning, was the first sacrifice that was brought in the morning. It says there, Milvad Olas Haboker. In one of the places in the Torah, it says, Milvad Ola Saboker, besides the Ola Saboker, Asher Lo Ola Satomit, Takrivu Esela. So this word, Milvad, makes up the first letters of the words, La'adbeko Machshafto Bi'almadosi. This is a quote from the Zohar HaKadosh, to plug in my brain to Olam Haba, to be conscious of the fact that there's another world. And in fact, this is why the Torah begins with a capital Beis, the big Beis, which is to remind us the first word, the first letter in the Torah is to tell you that there's two. Don't get lost in this world. Don't think that this world is it. There are two worlds. This one is the temporary one. This is called the Olam HaSheker because majority of things that you're going to see around you, majority of things that you're going to interact with are coming from Sheker. They're coming from the Yetzer Hara. They're there to deceive you, to trick you, to fool you, to divert your attention from your mission, from your purpose and goal. Whereas the world to come, Olam Haba, is called Olam Ho'emes. That's the world of truth. That's the world where a person will get to see Hashem properly and see ourselves properly and see things for what they really are. So we said that's on a general level. The first thought when I get up in the morning should be this. And then on a more detailed, specific level, Rabbi Nachman makes an incredible statement here that every single day a person goes through thinking, speaking, and action. Machshava, Dibur, and Maisa. And Hashem, with his infinite kindness, Hashem shrinks himself, kaviyachol, from his levels of infinity and brings himself down into this physical world. And Hashem interacts with us, with each and every one of us, every single day in our thoughts, in our interaction and speaking with people, and in the activities that we do. Hashem is there all the time by every single person. In every single place and every single day, Hashem is interacting with your machshava, dibur, and maisa, with your thoughts and with your speech, with your interaction with other people through speech and activity, trying to bring you close to Him, trying to bring us close to Hashem. Hashem is sending each and every one of us messages, all kinds of messages and remozim that come in machshava. The fact all of us know that there are times that I'm thinking about A and suddenly Y comes into my mind. A thought comes into my mind. Where did that come from? And the answer is that Hashem is interacting with each and every one of us in our machshavos. Or I'll hear somebody say something. Why did I hear that? The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh once said that when a Jew witnesses Chilul Shabbos, if a Jew witnesses any kind of desecration to the Shabbos, it's a message to me that there's something that I need to correct in how I keep Shabbos. So that everything that we're seeing, everything we're interacting with around us all the time, it's messages from Hashem to give us this Zikara in Dikdusha, to help us realize we're on a mission. Our goal is to get to Olam Haba. Our goal is to be part of eternity. And in order to get there, we have to succeed in the mission. And succeed, the success in the mission is dependent on to what degree I succeed in focusing on the mission, in remembering what I'm here for and working on that, and not getting diverted, not getting caught up in all the diversions, getting involved in that and missing out. Not the way the terminology in the Gemara, person's going on a trip, they have to prepare suitcases. You have to prepare what you need, what you're going to need to use in that destination you're going to get to. And in Olam Haba, we know the suitcases, the things you need to bring along are Torah, mitzvahs, and ma'asim tovim, those things. That's our focus in this world, to try to acquire, to try to amass as much Torah, mitzvahs, and ma'asim tovim all the way. And that requires this consciousness, this zikoro in dalma dosi. Where can a person have the highest degree of this consciousness? Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael has an advantage over all other places in the world. The Torah tells us, Hashem's eyes, Tamid Eini Hashem Al Kachbo, Hashem is focused on Eretz Yisrael much more than everywhere in the world. There's nothing on this earth that happens without Hashem wanting it to happen and without Hashem being there. But he's not the same. His presence is not the same in Chutz Loretz as it is in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara makes an incredible statement at the end of Tzubois. Kol ador Eretz Yisrael doime kemi sheyesh lo eloka. A person living in Israel, it's as it's like he has Hashem. V'chol ador b'chutz loretz doime kemi she'ein lo eloka. And a person who lives outside of Eretz Yisrael, it's like he doesn't have a Hashem. Do we mean that a person can't be Jewish, can't be religious outside of Eretz Yisrael? Chas v'shalom. But we mean there's a major difference. That this zikoron, this consciousness of Hashem, is much more natural in Eretz Yisrael than in Chutz Loretz, much more natural in Yerushalayim than it is in the rest of Eretz Yisrael, and most natural in the Beis Hamikdash. When the Torah describes the Beis Hamikdash, one of the things it says is, Hashem says, B'chol mokoim asher azkir es shemi, ovo yelecho ve'rachticha. In any place where my name is mentioned, and here the word azkir, lahaskir, it can mean again, remembered. Hashem says, I am remembered, I am thought of, I am spoken about, I am mentioned. The Beis Hamikdash is a place where we were allowed to mention certain names of Hashem that couldn't be mentioned at any other place. So this, the Beis Hamikdash is called a merkaz, a center of zikoron d'kedusha. This place of zikoron d'kedusha, and this is one of the reasons why the Torah insists that a Jew must visit the Beis Hamikdash, and especially at those times of the year, on the holidays, which are Eis Rotzayin, the holidays Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, where we commemorate miracles that Hashem performed. Every one of the holidays, Rabbi Nachman points out on Likutei Moran, is a time when we're remembering, Yalev Yovoy, we say on the holidays. We say, Zochreinu Hashem Alekeinu Boi L'Toivo, Ufogdeinu Voi L'Vrocha. What are we remembering? We're remembering that this is a day when Hashem took off the curtain. He showed that he was in charge through the miracles. When Hashem allows things to go according to Teva, to follow the natural state of events, then Hashem is keeping low profile. He's hidden. Ha'aloma. The world that we live in is called Olam. The word Olam is Miloshen Ha'aloma. Hashem usually is in a state of hiding in this physical world, in this Olam HaSheker. In fact, the Torah tells us as we get closer to the coming of Moshiach, Hashem says, V'anoichi hastir astir espona b'yamu. I'm going to hide my hiddenness. I'm going to double hide. I'm going to be doubly hidden in this physical world. Whereas in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, in the Beis Hamikdash, the Torah says, Sholosh pomim bashono, yeroe kol zechurcho es pnei Hashem. There are three times a year that you want to be in Hashem's face. You want to see Hashem more clearly than any other time. On these dates, Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos, when Hashem performed extraordinary miracles, Pesach, the miracles of Yitzias Mitzrayim, Shavuos, the miracles of Matan Torah, all the miracles that the Torah describes. People were able to see sound. They were able to hear light. All the sick people were cured. The Gemara describes the Nisim and Eflois that took place at Matan Torah. The Chol Ha'om Royim Es HaKoylois. The Gemara goes into it in detail. And especially the miracles on Sukkos, the Anane Yakovoi, the special clouds that accompanied the Jews throughout the desert, that miraculously tailored and laundered their clothing, smoothed out all the hills and valleys and mountains and everything, all the miracles. So that these Yomim Tovim are times when Hashem shows himself. These are times when Hashem is visible. He made himself more visible. We go to the place. We go to the Beis HaMikdash, which is the place of the greatest visible, where we can see Hashem the clearest. And this seeing, when a person sees something, usually they're more conscious of it. We say, Ula Zikoroin Bein Einecha, when we put on tefillin. Ula Zikoroin Bein Einecha, that this Zikoroin Dikdusha, this ability to be totally conscious of Hashem and alert of what Hashem is about, what my mission is in this world, is dependent on this, on the eyes. And again, the eyes meaning places where I see Hashem better, like Eretz Yisrael. Tomid Einei Hashem Alakecha Bo, the eyes of Hashem are focused in Eretz Yisrael, means a Jew has better vision in Eretz Yisrael in seeing Ruchnius, in seeing what they need to see. And number two, in not being distracted. We know that when a person wants to see into the distance, what do? They squint. When a person wants to increase their vision, to be see further than they can naturally see, they shrink the opening of the eye. By shrinking it, the eye can go out further. On a spiritual level, on a ruchnius level, Rabbi Nachman writes, you want to be able to see into the next world? You want to be able to see your tachlis, your goal? Avoid the distractions. Don't let your vision go that side vision, looking at all the distractions, the hula hoo that the Yetzer Hara is putting on, the show, the performance, the speed he's putting on, to get you to look to the sides and not keep your eye on the ball, not be focused on what you need to concentrate on. The Beis HaMikdash is referred to as the place, the Hashem says that I have put my name on it. Habayis HaGodol Shenikra Shimcha Olav. It's the place where Hashem has put his name upon it. And regarding this name, the Gemara and the Zohar HaKadosh quote the Pasuk, Ze Shmi La'olam, Veze Zichri L'dor V'dor. Hashem says, this is my name, and this is how I am to be remembered. You want to remember me? You want to be thinking about me? It's through my name. Ze Shmi La'olam, Veze Zichri L'dor V'dor. So the Zohar HaKadosh, and I believe the Gemara mentions it also, that these two terms, Shmi and Zichri, are connected to the Torah that Hashem has given us, which is referred to as Kula Shmoisav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah is a composite of all the different names of Hashem. When you want to remember somebody, when you're thinking of somebody, what's his name again? When I say the name of a person, that brings up the whole CV of the person. The name of the person, in the name of a person is included everything about that person. When I mention a person's name, Chaim Goldstein, I'm referring to Chaim Goldstein who lives in this city, who has this wife and these children, and everything about him is Marumas in his name. In his name, the name encompasses everything about the person. When we talk about Hashem's name, in Hashem's name is included everything about Hashem, all the attributes of Hashem. That's this Ze Shmi, the Ze Zichri. So it's brought that the word Shmi, Shin Mem Yud, is 350. The word Zichri, Zayin Chof Reish Yud, is 237. If you take the word Shmi and you add the first half of Hashem's name to it, the Yud Hey, Shmi plus Yud Hey becomes 365. Referring to the 365 negative commandments of the Torah. If you take the word Zichri, which we said is 237, and you add Vavke, the second half of Hashem's name, you get 248, which is the positive commandments of the Torah. When we want to talk about remembering Hashem, focusing on our mission, the Torah, the Taryag Mitzvot, Hashem has given us a Torah. We have a Shulchan Aruch from the second you get up in the morning till the second you go, governing every facet of your life to help you be plugged into Hashem 24/7. That's this Zikaron Dikdusha, is by connecting to the name of Hashem, which is the Torah of Hashem, which is this Shmi and Zichri, this Yudke and Vavke. This is what helps a person be Zoche to this Zikaron Dikdusha. And the more a person is focused on this, the more a person connects to the Torah, the more a person is involved in studying Torah, in fulfilling the mitzvahs, Torah, tefillah, and mitzvahs, the more they're uninvolved in the distractions. The Gemara says, Hashem says, Borosi Yetzirah, I created a Yetzirah. He's got shopping bags. He's got every kind of attraction and distraction you could want and not want. But Hashem says, I created an antidote. Borosi Torah Tavlin. There's a Torah. I've given you a Torah. If you get involved, if you immerse yourself in the Torah, you're going to be free. You are not going to be available to him. The moment you're doing nothing, the moment you're in Beitel Torah, when you're not plugged, you're not davening or learning or performing mitzvahs, you're a prime target. You're vulnerable for the full array of what the Yetzirah has to offer. All the assorted distractions, 36 flavors of every kind of distraction in the world to take you away from your goal, away from your tachlis, away from your mission. Now, Rabbi Nachman says that the Torah is referred to, the fulfilling of the mitzvahs of the Torah is referred to as by the hands, especially. The Gemara uses the terminology Yodayim Askonios, hands. We wash when a person gets up in the morning, when we want to remove the tumah from ourselves during the nighttime, during darkness, there's a tumah that rests on a person. When we want to remove that tumah, washing the hands is step one, is phase one of removing ourselves, unplugging ourselves from tumah, and availing ourselves for the Kedusha. The two hands, it's brought, represent, again, that base of Bereshis, the Torah Shebichsav and the Torah Shebal Peh, the written Torah and the oral Torah. We know that when Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu the Torah, he gave him two luchos, two tablets, and the Torah says in a few places, Ushtei luchos b'shtei yodai. I receive the two luchos in my two hands. These yodayim, that's in terms of the concept of a person doing mitzvos and maisim toivim. When Hashem created the world, the first pasuk in the Chumash, Bereshis bara Elokim es haShamayim v'Esoretz, in the beginning Hashem created heaven and earth, has 28 letters in it. Those 28 letters are called the 28 letters of Bereshis, of creation. And we're told, the Torah points out, that just like a human being does with their hands, we do things with our hands, so too kaviyochel, the symbolism by Hashem. Hashem has no body, no physical form, but the symbolism, this pasuk, which describes that in the beginning Hashem created everything, heaven and earth, those 28 letters represent the yodayim of Hashem, the hands. The word yad is 14, 2 times yad is 28, and on the hand, the fingers of the hand, if you'll take a look, have exactly 14 parts. The pinky is divided into 3 parts. All the fingers are 3 parts, except for the thumb, which is 2 parts. That's the 14 yodalid pirkin shebiyad, the 14 parts of the yad. These 2 yodayim, this represents the entire creation, the world. The world is these yodayim of Hashem, was created with the hands of Hashem. And the Torah, which is what Hashem used, which is our way of plugging into Hashem and avoiding the distractions, the Torah was received by Moshe Rabbeinu, the Shtei Luchos, in his two hands. the Yetzer Hara, the other side, is also trying to get a person to use their hands in all kinds of wrong ways. We find that the Torah uses the word Rasha, an evil, wicked person. Rasha lomo sakareyecha. When Moshe Rabbeinu saw a Jew lift a hand to another Jew, just for lifting his hand, he referred to him as, he saw the person strike, he said, Rasha lomo sakareyecha, using your hands in an improper way. When a person, and the Zohar HaKadosh, in fact, make a point of saying that a Jew has to be extremely careful not to raise your hands for anything other than when it comes to praying, when it comes to tefillah. We have the expression, Shitachti Eilecho Kapai, the tzaddikim, the Ovoy Saktoshim. When a person is really into praying, it's not just words coming out of their mouth, it's every part of their body. Kol atzmosai tomarno Hashem mikomoicha. Every bone in my body is crying out, Hashem, there's nobody like you. Every part of a person's body gets involved in the tefillah, and especially the hands. We find the classical example when Moshe Rabbeinu was going up against the enemy of the Jewish people, Amalek. Amalek, who is a composite of all the evil of all 70 nations of the world. The Pasuk says, Reishis Goyim Amalek. He's the top of all the nations. The Torah says, Vayehi Yodov Emuna. Moshe Rabbeinu's hands were extended in prayer, in a display of faith in Hashem, and in a sign of Emuna, the display of in tefillah to Hashem. We know when the Torah speaks about a person displaying lack of faith in Hashem, when a person forgets Hashem, we said that Hashem in this world keeps low profile, hidden. Where do we see the greatest potential for forgetting Hashem? When it comes to parnasa, comes to a person going out to work. The Torah says, Hashem says, I'm warning you. You're going to work very hard. You're going to succeed. You're going to acquire all kinds of possessions. And you're going to say, Koichi v'oitzem yodi osol yesachay lazeh. It's my power and it's my hands that acquired all of this wealth. Everything I acquired, it's my work. I did it with my two hands. I built up this business. I built this house. I built this family. All in the Yodayim. The Yodayim can go either way. The Yodayim can be the Emunah. The Yodayim is Tefillah. The Yodayim is Torah. The Luchais received in the hands of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Mitzvois Maisius that we do with our hands. Or the opposite. The Koichi Voitzam Yodi, the rejection of Hashem. Rabbi Nachman says that one of the things that connects a person to Hashem on the deepest level and the highest level is music and song. We have it in this week's Parsha. This week's Parsha, Parsha's Vayetze. The Shvotim, the tribes are being born. And when Leah gives birth to Levi, she says, Hapam yilove ishi elai. Now my husband is going to be deeply attached to me. Now that I gave birth to my third child, my husband is going to be very connected to me. The pshat in that is she knew that there's supposed to be 12 tribes, 4 wives. As soon as she had her third child, she knew she fulfilled her quota. She scored 100 on the test, so now my husband is going to be good with me. The Zohar HaKadosh says there's a much deeper message. Why did she use this word yilove? Yilove means a deep connection. Dveikus, the term dveikus. The Zohar HaKadosh says that the Levim represented song and music. They were the ones who did the singing and music in the Beis HaMikdosh. And there's nothing in life that can raise a person to a level of dveikus that gives a person a deep attachment both to good or to the opposite, like song and music. These items of negina and negina has the ability to give a person the deepest and highest level attachment and connection to spirituality, to Hashem, or to the opposite. We know that there's blues. We know that there's all types of secular music. And we see the results. We see that people that get involved in drugs, in the worst things, in the greatest distractions of the Yetzirah in this world, it's usually connected to the kind of music that they're plugged into. Whether it's rock, whether it's rap, whether it's all the different versions. In every generation, the Yetzirah changes channels. He presents something new, a new form of distraction to put the people into a spiritual sleep, to divert their attention from the real connection, from the real thing, and to get them high, to get them thinking they're high on these distractions, all of these other kind of things. When a person is playing music, in every musical instrument, we know that there's musical notes. Those that have studied music a little bit or song a little know that there's 8 notes, an octave, and then there's a higher level of 8 and a higher level of 8. And anytime you want to make a song or any kind of music, you have to select. A song is never, a person presses on all the keys at the same time, we know what that sounds like. All the keys of a piano, or a person's holding down all the strings of a guitar and strumming it, we know what that sounds like. It sounds like nothing. The whole concept of a song and music requires a selection. Selecting the good from the bad. There's the notes that I need to create my song. I'm taking one from here, one from there, skipping this note and going on to this one. The whole design of a song is based on selecting the Ruach Toiv from the Ruach Ro, from the Ruach Necheya. This terminology, we find many psukim in the Torah where it uses the term Ruach. We know that there are wind instruments, number one as they're called. There are wind instruments, there are that you blow, clarinet, trumpet, all of those kind of things, flute. There are instruments that you play with your hand, obviously, whether it's the guitar, whether it's the drums, or that we're using these two powers. We're using Ruach and we're using our hands to select good from bad, to separate good from bad. And the song is composed of those notes that we chose, the good notes, which when put together in this order, in this form, make something that picks a person up, that lifts a person up the way only music and song can do. Rabbi Nazal says, Rabbi Nachman writes, that this is a display of simcha. This is what simcha is all about. When we talk about an individual person, each and every one of us has good and bad. We have a good inclination inside of us. We have a Yetzer Tov and a Yetzer Hara. And just about all of us do good things and we do other things. We make mistakes. If a person wants to succeed, if a person wants to be zeicha to this zikor and dikdusha, to be plugged into Hashem, they have to be able to focus on the good. They have to be able to pick, to select these, the nekudos toivos, the good inside of them, the good dots, like musical notes are pictured as dots, to find the dots, like the stars in the sky. You have a sky that's a dark background at night, it's black, and you have these stars that appear like little dots in the sky that are lighting up the sky. We know to us they appear like little dots, where in reality we know that they're huge, they're very big. So too, inside of every single person, we have these nekudos toivos. Every good thought, every good word that a Jew says, not just a good thought, a good intention. The Zohar HaKadosh says, "Les re'usa tavo de'savid." If a Jew has a desire for a moment, I wish I could help that person, I wish I could do, that thought, the Zohar HaKadosh says, is a star, it's a kochav. It gets documented, it's on that person's record, and it's indelibly inscribed, it's indestructible. A ratzayin toiv. How much more so if a person says a good word to another human being, or a person says a good word to Hashem, a person says, Hashem, please forgive me, I made a mistake, I'm sorry I made a mistake, or please bring me close to you. These are stars, these are nekudos toivos. True, there are mistakes that I've made, I've done other things, that darkness if I want to, in order to be able to pray to Hashem, in order to be able to have the deepest connection to Hashem, which is through this song, this power of Negina, it requires my ability to be able to separate the good from the bad, to identify this good inside of myself, and to put together one good thing I did with another good thing, and to form a song from that. Azamro l'Elokai, I sing to Hashem, me'oidi, with my oid ma'at, with a little bit of good that I find in myself, I use that one piece of good, another piece of good, that's how you make a song. All the people who know a little about music, you, a person who doesn't know music, doesn't know what it's all, they hear a song and they think it's just a flow, like a river flowing. The person, they show them the song on paper and they see that it's dots, it's notes, it's individual notes that were put together in a certain order and it required skipping. It required taking the first one, then the third one, then the second one, then selecting out these nekudos tovos to build this song. It's through this process of building this song, being able to find the good inside of oneself and extract it and put together a few pieces of good. This is what puts the person in a frame of mind of simcha, joy, which connects them to Hashem, which gives them this zikoron dikdusha. This is why in the Beis HaMikdash, one of the highlights was this negina, this song and music. And this is why we find when the Torah describes a Jew coming to the Beis HaMikdash, usemachtem b'chol mishlach yad, all the psukim that talk about Jews visiting the Beis HaMikdash, bringing karbonos, you'll see just about every single time it appears in the Torah, it says you will rejoice with Hashem. It's this simcha, this frame of mind of happiness that comes from being able to focus on the good, to extract those nekudos tovos and put them together. This is what raises a person to that level of zikoron dikdusha, to be able to have that consciousness all the time. Shivisi Hashem lenegdi summit, not to know what my mission is and to be able to focus on it and not to be distracted by the Yetzer Hara, who comes in all kinds of shapes and forms, but his mission is to pull me down. His main mission is, because he knows that when a person is happy, the Torah says about Yosef HaTzadik, that even though he was in the house of Potiphar, he was taken, he was kidnapped away from his family, out of his land, taken to the lowest place on earth in Egypt. And he was in captivity in a house of Potiphar, who was a major Russia. The Torah says that Potiphar was the lowest of the low. He wanted to commit the most sinful acts with Yosef HaTzadik. What saved Yosef HaTzadik was his joy. He had the name of Hashem on his lips all the time. He was humming a tune. He was always singing a song. And that song is what gave him the ability, even in the worst place in Mitzrayim, in the house of Potiphar, to hold on, to be able to hold on, to have this zikoron dikdusha, to be plugged into Hashem. Rabbi Nachman tells us that there's a place and a time for everything. There are places and times that are best suited for things. There's a secret called chatzos. There's something called midnight, which is mentioned in the Gemara, throughout the Torah, in the Shulchan Aruch, it's mentioned on page 1, that truly religious people try, whenever they can, to be up at midnight, to get up at midnight, and to do what you're supposed to do at midnight. What are you supposed to do at midnight? The Gemara says that one of the most outstanding Jews of all time, David HaMelech, had a harp that hung over his bed, a kinoir, and exactly at midnight, the Gemara in Baba Basra shows how the wind moves in different directions throughout the day. At midnight is when the north wind starts coming, and this harp was positioned in such a way that ruach tzfoinis, that ruach, would go through the strings of the harp and would start playing, and that would wake him out of his sleep. That would get him out of his sleep, wake him up, to start davening and learning, to connect with Hashem, to start this zikoron dikdusha process. The pasuk, Rabbi Nachman quotes the pasuk, Ezkero neginosi baloila, I remember my song at night, im levavi osicha vayechapes ruchi, I turn inside myself. I look inside my heart. I speak to my heart. Im levovi osicha, vayechapes ruchi. And I search for my ruach. I search for that ruach toiv inside of myself. There's ruach ra, in the Torah it mentions many times. There's ruach ra, atzvus ruach. There's all kinds of bad spirits, evil spirits. And there's ruach toiv. This ruach toiv represents these nekudasos, these good points inside of each and every person. It's specifically at that time, at midnight, when the ability for a Jew to connect to this ezgero neginosi, to this zikoro indikdusha, this highest level of consciousness of Hashem and of what my true mission in life is, and to be able to activate that song. That song that comes from being able to extract the good, select the good, and push aside the bad, eliminate the bad, and put together that special song that gives me the ability, im levovi asicha, to speak with my heart, to open my heart to Hashem, and to tell Hashem what I need to tell Hashem, to beg Hashem to bring me close to Him, to beg Hashem to help me avoid all the pitfalls in this world, all the distractions, and to be zeicher to this highest degree on my level of zikor and dikdusha. There's a lot more to say on this. We'll see. We might continue this in the next shiur to clarify this further. But for now, I think if a personal review, what we said, the point that we wanted to make very much is that a Jew has the ability through simcha, and again, one of the forms of simcha is this negina. Rabbi Nachman said that a religious Jew is supposed to always have a song on his lips, a tune. Not loud enough, obviously, to bother somebody next to you, for them to think you're weird. But we're talking about for a person to be singing to himself, and specifically those kinds of songs that pick a person up, that wake him up, that take him out of that spiritual sleep, and that unplug him from the distractions of this world, that are keeping his neshama humming, that get the soul, the engine of the soul moving, to be zeicha to this connection, this true connection to Hashem.